let's start at the beginning here. You know, baseball recently lost Ricky Henderson, Pete Rose, and Bob Uecker. And I'm just kind of curious. I know you played against Ricky Henderson in the 1993 World Series. I'm a sucker for a good Ricky Henderson story. Do you have one?
Well.
Dang it.
I'll give you one, Pete Rose.
All right, let's go Pete Rose. Give me a good Pete Rose story.
Reason why?
Yeah.
My first hit in the big leagues was in Cincinnati. I called up, and Pete Rose was playing first base, so player manager.
Yeah.
And so I got my first big league hit, and I got the first, and he was playing first. And Pete Rose says, "Congratulations, kid. You only got 4,000 to go to catch me." You know, it was classic. And then, you know, Ricky Henderson, I mean, all I can tell you about him, he was the best, you know, all in the history of baseball, of a leadoff hitter, you know?
Yeah.
And, winner, you know, I mean, again, we start talking about Pete Rose and things like that. The Hall of Fame starts coming up, and I start getting upset because I don't get the whole thing, you know.
I mean, you obviously think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, like, the three best players in the history of baseball are not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you got Pete Rose, you got Roger Clemens, and you got, you know, Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
And so, like, what's the threshold? What makes somebody bad enough to? I mean, Roger Clemens, he won the court case.
Yeah.
And it's just so political, and again, it's it kind of upsets me, you know. It's I went down in 1 year to the event. They have the thing in Cooperstown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in front of all of them down there, and I said, "What makes somebody bad enough to, like, not be voted on the Hall of Fame? The three best players in the history of baseball aren't in the Hall of Fame. Why? Because what? One of them did this or that. What about all the other players that drank or raped people? And what's the threshold?"
Yeah.
You know?
Well, famously, people always say, and it's a different sport, but O.J. Simpson is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They didn't take that away from him.
Which is ridiculous. He's a stone cold murderer.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And then, see, the Baseball Hall of Fame, politics, everything else like that. But, I mean, look. Our boy, he just died, you know, sadly, you know, Pete Rose. I mean, they have 200 hits in 1 year is amazing.
Right.
Okay. He did that in 23 years.
Yeah.
And he's on the Hall of Fame. And then he got, you know, again, Roger Clemens, who was probably the only right-hander I really didn't like to face. And he's on the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's all political.
Well, and is something you brought up in your book. Two things that you did say is, one, steroids were not illegal when that era took place in baseball in the 90s. And then, two, if you look at guys like Roger Clemens and, you said, Barry Bonds, they were Cy Young Award winners and MVPs before they even touched steroids.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. You're right on point.
Okay. I was having an argument with somebody, and Carlos Beltran has come up for consideration for the Hall of Fame. And I don't know if you know, he was sort of the ringleader for the Astros sign-stealing saga that ended up having the Astros win the World Series. What do you think is a worse crime in baseball, steroids or sign-stealing?
Well, steroids aren't the worst crime in baseball. I mean, they weren't even illegal.
Right. But the fans.
I feel it's part of baseball, so.
Okay.
I got no problem with that.
Interesting. So you're not. You're
that's
one
part of the game.
Yeah. So you're one of those guys that doesn't look down on the Astros in their 2017 World Series.
I love them. Do whatever you got to do to win. That's how I rolled.
That's
hey, man, it's all about winning, you know?
Yeah.
And if you get away with that kind of stuff, you know, all those little things matter.
Right.
And so, you know, again, it's always been part of the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
not at that level, of course.
Right. Well, I remember back in the days when the White Sox and Tony La Russa were doing that in the, when did he start, 79? They were doing that in the 80s. Everyone knew about it, and it was just kind of, yeah, that's what you do. And it goes back
exactly.
to Bobby. It goes back to Bobby Thompson and the shot heard around the world. Everyone said that he knew what pitch was coming. They were stealing signs, so.
I mean, look, the bottom line is the game's hard. So yeah. You do anything you can do to help your team out. And, you know, everything isn't, you know, perfectly above board, but the game's hard. I mean, look, you're playing for a lot of money. You're playing every night. You do what you got to do to win. And, again, nothing to do with drugs. I mean, that was just them being smart enough to figure out how to get other people's signs. What's wrong with that?
I mean, you know, if you look in football, they have guys that, I mean, sign stealing is a part of football.
Well, I mean, look, you can make it very complicated. Like I still don't know how they did it, by the way, because they had to react so fast because, you know, the word was out and the pitchers knew that they were stealing signs. And so what happens is the catchers put, you know, three or four signs down. So for them to get that sign and they relay into that hitter, that it's amazing how they do that.
Yeah.
But again, back to the same question I always ask. What makes somebody bad enough, or what's the threshold that makes someone or some team bad enough where they did too much and they can't be, you know, recognized as whoever they are, you know?
Yeah.
You can't get a little bit pregnant, you know what I mean?
That's very true. How about we start at the beginning? You and I are both Orange County guys, different generations, but you were born in Garden Grove High School, right? Or excuse me, you were born in Garden Grove, California.
Yeah, I went to Garden Grove High School.
And we're talking what?
You know us right there?
Who?
The actor, the funny actor. I'll leave his name in a second. Anyways,
didn't I read that Rufio? Okay, so did you ever see the movie Hook?
I don't know.
Okay, awkward pause. There was a guy, it was Rufio. Dustin Nguyen, I think his name was, but anyways.
And this actor's a big-time actor. He's a comedian, kind of actor.
Oh, Steve Martin.
No, he's a dick, too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Steve Martin is also a dick, I've heard, but...
But you look it up, and all you do is Google why we're doing this to the, you know, most famous actor to come out of Garden Grove High School, and name right away.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a story about him.
Yeah. Give me one sec.
Yeah, you'll pull up in 10 seconds, in 2 seconds.
Did you watch the inauguration?
No.
Hmm.
Was it good?
No, I didn't watch either. Okay, notable alumni. Okay, you owe me a steak dinner because Steve Martin did go to Garden Grove High School.
Steve Martin, did he? Oh, you said him?
Yeah.
Steve Martin, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so... We were at dinner one night, and me and my boys and Steve Martin and his people, I'm walking over there, and I said, "Hey, Mr. Martin, I'm an extra, da, da, da." And, you know, we went to the same high school. And he blew me off like a redheaded stepchild, man. And I said, "You know what? I heard you're a dick. And you know what? It's confirmed now. You are a dick." And that was it for Steve Martin.
Dude, I've heard the exact same thing, so I wouldn't even approach him. Okay, now I have to ask, who's a bigger dick, Steve Martin or Robert De Niro?
Robert De Niro, my boy, man. Me and Robert De Niro did some rails together.
Yeah, but I heard he stiffed you, too.
Yeah, he did. How did you know that?
I know things, man.
Yeah, De Niro, in fact, the thing is, you know, he's not a baseball fan. I don't even know who I was. But we were in St. Bart's and you know, making tons of money, and I had pussies flying in and out, right and left. He's with his black wife and bored of shit. And next thing I know, he's coming over to my fucking suite asking if I got any white. I said, white? Like, cola? I said, no, the guy's hoarding me all my cola, man.
You still have my favorite nickname. I've never done cocaine, but you still have my favorite nickname for it, which is, you remember?
Keith Richards?
Yeah, Richards.
Oh, Keith Richards is a freaking, he looks like one of the, I heard he's still doing it.
I mean, at this point, he's one of those people that if his he went to a doctor and the doctor said, you got to stop, he'd be dead in 3 days. So...
He's so cool. I love his interviews, man. I mean, the Rolling Stones are amazing, aren't they? They're still all alive.
Dude, they still come to the Soldier Field like, I don't know, once every 2 years, and they sell out for 3 nights in a row.
This is amazing, man. Yeah. Keith Richards, like, so, like, again, I'm not trying to be hamster, I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
When we were playing, we can't say, like, who's up to blow. So I came up with the name of the legendary. So I said, Keith Richards in the house. Because, you know, he looks like an eyeball, you know?
Yeah.
And, but Keith Richards is cool, man. He's cool. He's, when I say cool, he just had that, even his interview is hilarious, you know?
Yeah. Let's get back to Garden Grove.
But again, they're all still alive, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I think Charlie Waters died, but. That was about it.
But, I mean, the main four, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's get back to Garden Grove High School. I think you
Garbage Grove.
Okay, I didn't want to say that because growing up in Huntington Beach. So I grew up in Huntington Beach. I went to Edison High School, and we did call it Garbage Grove.
Oh, you went to Edison, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we played Edison. Yeah, you guys were your 4A?
Man, back in those days, yeah, we had a big-ass high school.
You did.
Yeah. So did you play them in football too?
Oh, I love football, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like you were what, a free safety?
Free safety, yeah, the full right Arizona State to play football and baseball. And I turned pro at high school, but if I'd have played baseball in Arizona State, yeah, if it was me, Barry Bonds and
DB McDowell, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That's a dream outfield.
It wouldn't have been.
No.
He said, Bonds is a dick. I told Bonds. And playing three also games with him. And he said, you know what? Two things. He's the best player to ever play the game. He's the biggest dick to ever play the game. But he could play, bro.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, like, if you're as good as Barry Bonds, aren't you kind of allowed to be a dick?
Thank you. You can be whatever the fuck you want
to
be.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, I think, if I remember correctly, you are the first player in Garden Grove High School history to start as a freshman.
Right. That's 550.
550, wow.
Yeah. Baseball. See, I grew up in a great family. My mom and dad were great. They worked at a phone company. We had six kids, and so, like, had to share, you know, hamburgers and McDonald's and all that. But my way out of the middle was baseball, and so I had one friend growing up in high school, and I had one friend that had something to catch with, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. And I never had a drink, and I never had a beer, and every time I would do some, say, if I do this, we'll help me get to the big leagues.
You made up for it later, though, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Because I've always heard you say you had one friend growing up in high school. Can you name the friend? Who is the friend? Give him a shout out.
I don't even know. He was just a body to play catch
with. What a dick.
Yeah, body to play catch with and throw BP to me.
So.
No girlfriends and no dances. I'm like, no, don't get me wrong. I had a few pipe cleaners, you know?
Right.
You have to clean your pipes, you know?
But nothing serious.
Nothing. No dances, nothing at all. Baseball.
So. What made you decide, because I think, if I'm remembering correctly, the football coach would have been Daryl Rogers at Arizona State. Am I right on that?
Yeah, he was...
He coached Kirk...
They were really good. They're really good.
Yeah, I want to say, because he also coached Kirk Gibson at Michigan State, did he not?
He did. Yeah, by time, at that time, Arizona State dominated, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, okay, so then why did you decide to eschew college and then go to the minor leagues?
Good question. Two reasons. Number one, baseball, the reason I made it to the big leagues is because I approached the game, I don't know if you're writing Billy Bean books or whatever,
yeah.
But I approached the game differently, and that was... So let's see, I got hit, I got run the first, the second, third, and home, and that's a run. I kept it simple, and I played, but the key to baseball is understanding the strike zone, you know. And so what I did on the contract here is I went all out, spent $500,000 on an underground, you know, a crew that was...
Like private investigators.
You know, exactly. Yeah. And so, because I got so tired of these fucking umpires calling strikes over balls and having them brown nose and says, fuck this. So, just about $500,000 and led the league in the walks next 2 years. Coincidence?
Yeah. What is the best piece of information that you picked up from the private investigators?
Oh, man, you should have me fucking bags or umpires, dude.
Say that again?
So you should have me people who are fucking gay that are umpires.
Ah.
So, hey, Rick, how... Rick, right? Yeah, how... Hey, how was Rick last night? And next thing you know...
That would have been... Oh, so like you're saying, how was like a gay bar?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I said, shit, next thing you know, my strike zone...
widens.
They said, the league walks next year. But I was on the contract here, and I'm the kind of guy that I have to do what I have to do. Remember, I was a very little guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to play 162 games, 6 months, every day, I mean, I had I was probably one of the first guys to do steroids. In fact, I had to wait in line at the drugstore to get them. That's how they were so far. I was so early on them, you know.
And this is before Google. And that, correct me if I'm wrong. You were living in Mississippi at the time.
I love that. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're hoping you're wrong. People actually live there. They do.
I went to the University of Alabama. I've been to Mississippi.
I actually had a great time in Mississippi, man. I really did.
Because you were, I don't think you've ever touched on this, but when you were with the Mets, you lived there in the off season still, right? Because your ex-wife and family's from there? Yeah.
Yeah, you got it together. Lou Jackson, and actually some of the best times of my life. It's been some great golf games, poker games, and I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Well, those poker games got you in a little bit of trouble. We might get to that. And it's not
a little trouble, but not so much trouble. You got set up.
Yeah, well, you know, you got hustled at the poker table after hustling the guy at the golf course, right?
Well, you really do. You do your work, bro. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, so I smoked your ass on the golf course for 20, 30 grand. I said, no, it is $100,000 in golf, and in tennis, in poker, And, like, I was a soccer player.
Yeah.
Turns out the guy who ran that game went to jail. That game was all rigged up. It had special glasses and everything else.
What were the feds trying to get that guy on?
They didn't try. They got him.
Oh, they did. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and they said, you know, look, we don't want you to, you know, we're not trying to get in trouble. I have to say one thing. You have to just go up there and point to the guy and walk out.
Oh.
And then I went to baseball and had to do them. But, I mean, the bottom line is they had that game sort of rigged up. But that was quite a time. Quite a time.
So let's get back to your kind of journey in the minors. Kind of curious. Who is the best player that you played with in the minor leagues that never made it to the show?
That's a good question. I'll tell you what. There's a player that I played with in the minor leagues, and he was a black guy, like a little leadoff hitter type guy. What was his name? God, I can't remember his name. But point being, look, 10% of the players in the big leagues, they're going to be stars no matter what, you know what I mean?
Right.
The other 90%, like in AAA, I play some players that are better than guys in big leagues.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of a spot opening up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, then now I have kind of an odd question. Who's the worst player that you played with in the minor leagues that ended up having a career in the bigs? Because, again, like you said, sometimes it's situationally, spot opens up, they need a second baseman or they need a shortstop.
That's a great question because a lot of them.
Yeah.
I play with so many players in the booze that I play with better players than my leagues, but it's all timing and everything else, you know? Like, the spot's clogged up, it's hard to crack through, you know?
Yeah.
But the money they're making now, I mean, so for like 10 minutes I was the highest paid player in baseball.
Yeah.
Making $6 million. And that was 250 grand every 2 weeks. So picture it now, multiply it now, they're making what? I mean, that was $6 million, and they're making something like 100 million.
Yeah, I mean,
these guys are making, you know the money these guys are making, dude.
It's going to get to a point, I think, in 10 years that we're going to have a $1 billion contract. Might even be sooner than that.
Might even be sooner. Which tells you the owners are making a truckload.
Yeah.
All through the TV contracts.
Yeah. I mean, I think I read that the Dodgers, in order to offset the contract with Ohtani, they signed independently a media rights deal with a television station in Japan, which essentially paid for that contract. So it...
Genius.
Yeah, it's a genius move, and I don't know... I don't think it took care of the entire contract. I have to look that up or remember, but, I mean, it took care of...
He doesn't want to save his money afterward, is he?
Oh, yeah, because he's smart. He's trying to get rid of those California taxes. He's deferring his salary.
California, man. What they did with that night, and again, I feel so sorry. You know, I think the reason I moved to this city because if I was in California, right where that fire was, right where I lived.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up, but I wasn't quite sure because you had a house in Thousand Oaks, and I.
Yeah, in L.A. though, and you know, one city that burned down or a place that burned down. Palos Verdes is very, very wealthy. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it still going?
It's dying down.
Dying down. It went for like 10 days straight, man.
Yeah, they couldn't contain it. And,
The thing is, they can't afford it. There's the one thing about California, man. Everything's beautiful. The fires come. Because when I was there, one of them stopped two miles from my car wash. I had a bunch of car washes.
Yeah.
And
which one? The one in...
It comes fast. Yeah, the one in Simi Valley.
Okay.
It comes fast and it comes furious, man.
Yeah.
And too, unless you, like, are there and right in front of it, you don't realize the power. You will, as you know, they can't stop it.
Yeah. And it's... Sorry, I'm kind of frustrated because I'm from Southern California, too, and I still got family that lives out there, so it's kind of close to my heart.
One second. I'm getting my medicine here. One second.
Yeah, all good.
Yeah. One second. Our show's safe, right?
Say that again?
We're safe, right?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Can you say
something?
Yeah, I can. Thanks. My man's doing medicine for me. I'm doing an interview right now. Oh. You're on national TV, bro. Thank you, man.
How's
it going? Sorry about that.
Yeah, you're all good. What are the meds for? The stroke?
Yeah, I was never sick in my life, and that stroke, it was very weird, man, because, like, I didn't feel like it, there's no pain or anything.
Yeah.
But, like, hard to explain, but, I mean, I'm lucky I haven't, I used to communicate and stuff like that, but what I'm going to do with that is I'm going to take it and I'm going to start a monster soon to be called different strokes for different folks. They're all stroke victims.
I read about that. So, okay, are you going to do kind of like a Jerry Lewis telethon thing? How's that going to work?
It's going to be a show for all stroke victims.
Okay.
And it'll be more entertainment for them because, you know, when I have to stroke in the hospital 2 months, they're all miserable and I'm looking forward to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Huh. I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm one of them guys that don't live back there, you know what I mean? I live going forward.
Well, I was
going
to say, I mean, everything that I've read, you're very goal-oriented.
What's that?
I said everything I've read about you, you're always very goal-oriented.
Yeah, obviously. But in baseball, I'm proud of, but it's over, you know?
Yeah.
I don't live back there. It's always something to look forward to, you know?
Is that kind of why, and I've heard this, that you don't really follow sports anymore? Is it just because
No. You've
been there, done that, don't want to live in the past?
I like you, man. You're good.
Thanks.
You're good. You did your work, man. You're exactly right. Because you know why? I mean, look, I'm proud of what I did, and I'm happy that we won and made a lot of people happy. But that's over.
Yeah.
And so I'm on the next thing. So when I have this stroke, you're like, what am I gonna do? You know? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, all these people are miserable, and I said, what if I had a talk show, you know, with you guys, and all the stroke victims, and it wasn't about strokes, it's something, it would be funny, and everyone loves it. Yeah. It's going to be awesome, bro.
Okay. Well, keep me posted on that. I will definitely plug that for you.
Oh, definitely, though. It's going to be, 700,000 people a year have a stroke, and you don't get unstroked, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, okay, because I'm curious, because my grandfather had a stroke, and there were certain things like, you know, he went to work every day in a white-collar profession, and he forgot he didn't know how to tie a tie anymore. I mean, little things like that. He didn't have a serious stroke, but he would just forget to do mundane things. I mean, do you find that
like me, dude. Same thing.
Same thing? Okay.
Yeah, she has a little sore now, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't have the energy I had, but I'm still healthy enough to do things, and I'm really excited about this this show because when I was in the hospital, all the stroke people are miserable. Yeah. You know, they didn't look forward to. So this would be more of a show that has entertainers and give them, you know, 2 hours for them to check out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, where would you, I mean, you're living in Scranton now, and we'll get to that.
Yeah, temporarily.
I mean, would you do it around that area, or would you go kind of bigger time?
No, that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, people with stroke, they can't travel and stuff.
Yeah.
So they need to walk from their homes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be cool. It's going to be great, man.
So, okay, we'll get back to baseball, but we kind of brought up Scranton. What are you doing in Scranton right now?
People live here, didn't you realize that?
Dude, yes, I've seen The Office, man. I get it. But what brought you to Scranton?
Well, you know what? It's weird, man. Like I'm just sort of understanding God and trying to whatever.
Yeah.
But like, if I lived in LA, where I live, burned down.
Yeah.
So maybe that brought me.
Serendipitous.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not in Scranton for long. But my lawyer has a home here, and I have a bunch of appearances in New York and Philadelphia, so it's kind of right between, you know?
So you actually know the only decent lawyer in America. That's cool.